Good morning, New Hope. Let me give a big welcome to our online community. So whether you're watching us on Facebook, YouTube, or later in the week, we are so glad that you are with us today. And it's so good to be with each one of you here in this lovely place here at New Hope. Today we are stepping into week two of our series, Upside Down Living. And if you are here for the first time, in this series we are exploring the good life, but not the way you expect it. Because I want us to be honest, everyone is searching for the good life. Am I right? We all want that good life. But Jesus shows us a version that flips our assumptions upside down. So let me start with this question. What's the good life? What is the good life? And many of us have different theories of what good life is. Maybe for you, the good life is being successful, being comfortable, or having everything go your way. Maybe for you is a bigger paycheck, a bigger salary, a nice house, the new iPhone. This is the 14, by the way, not the 17, right? Maybe for you, the good life is having perfect health. Maybe the good life for you is not being stressed or a life where everything feels under control. Maybe for you, the good life is having so many likes on Instagram that if you post one picture, it goes viral. Or maybe it's having so many followers on TikTok. Or maybe for you, the good life is having that dream vacation. For my wife, it would be being at Disney every day. That's the good life for her. Or maybe for you, the good life is a kind of relationship that everyone admires to be like. When somebody looks at your relationship, people will be like, oh, I want to be like them. Maybe that's the good life for you. Maybe the good life is being admired, feeling important, or finally reaching that goal you've been chasing for years. But what if? What if the good life is something deeper? Something found in living by God's kingdom's values, even when they seem completely opposite of what the world tells us they are. And today, this morning, in this series, we are looking at the Sermon on the Mount. But we are going to look at it in Luke's perspective, in Luke's lens. So let me give you a little bit of context here. Luke is the author of this book. And here's something that most people get shocked by. Luke was not part of the 12 disciples. He wasn't an OG. He wasn't part of that crew. Luke was a Gentile physician, doctor, a careful historian, and a close companion of the Apostle Paul. Now, Luke tells us this in the beginning of this book, that he researched everything carefully and interviewed eyewitnesses so that he would have a well-ordered and trustworthy account of Jesus' life. In fact, this is what he says in Luke 1. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theopilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. And this is really important to get. Matthew, John, and Mark, they walk with Jesus. They experience Jesus in a different way. Luke did not walk with Jesus. So he interviewed different people to get a message that these three groups deliver. And here's the cool part. All of the message together has the same message, that Jesus is our God. And that's so cool because Luke's perspective is like if Luke is interviewing each one of you to see who this Jesus was. And it's so beautiful to see that at the end of the day, it aims to the same message. Now, with all of this information, this is still my intro, by the way. There's something we learn from Luke, that we need to understand that context of what we are reading, that we need to understand the context of what we are reading. Luke reminds us that we need to study the background, the context of the Bible, of everything we do. Because just because TikTok says it, doesn't mean it's real. This past Tuesday, many people were saying that it was the rapture. It was all over news. The rapture happened, supposed to happen this Tuesday. I'm here. You're here. Rusty's still here. So it did not happen. That's because they got the Bible off context. 2012. Supposedly, another rapture supposed to happen in 2012. We're still here. Y2K. The end of the world. Still going. So that's why it's important that we read the Word of God with context. Because when we read the Word of God, Jesus told his disciples, not even him himself knows when the Father's coming back. No one knows. And I don't think nobody will ever know. So if you hear someone saying that, just pray for that person. Pray for that person. And we have to be careful. And the way to be careful is by reading God's word and understand who he's talking to, who he meant to, and how he applies to us. So let me say it this way. If you don't know the context of what you are reading in the Bible, it's easy to miss what it really means. God's word isn't just a collection of spiritual inspirational quotes. It's a living story rooted in real history, real people, and a real Savior. So when we slow down to understand what God is saying in his word, man, it's beautiful because we see him talking to us. So with that being said, I want us today to dive in into the Beatitudes. We are going to look at the Sermon on the Mount, and we are going to take our time, and we are going to put this into practice together. So let's read Luke 6, 20 to 26, and this is what it says. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God bless you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God bless you who are hungry, for you will be satisfied. God bless you who are weak now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessing awaits you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. Now Jesus changes here his tone, and then he says here in 24, what sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for laughing will turn into mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors are also praised the false prophets. So as we read this, I want us to break it down in two sections. People that have it together and people that don't have it together. Those are the two sections. So in this first part, Jesus is speaking to the poor, to the hungry, to the hurting, and to the rejected. And he tells them, you are blessed. You are blessed. That's if Jesus is saying to you, you are blessed even though you are struggling right now. You are blessed because you have that cancer. You are blessed because you are financially stressed. You are blessed. Man, church, I don't know about you, but that's flipping the script. I'll be wondering, what do you mean, Jesus? Jesus redefines what it means to be blessed, showing that blessing isn't about comfort or success, but about belonging to him even in the middle of the struggle. He calls the poor, the hungry, the grieving, and the rejected blessed. Now, I'll dive in deeper in this crowd. Let's go to the next crowd. This next crowd, he tells them something different. He gives them a warning. He tells the rich, the well-fed, the fat, those who are laughing now, those who are admired by everyone, to be careful. And let me explain what he meant by the fat, the big group. Growing up, I have good friends from Cuba. And they always tell me, Yayo, man, you are so blessed, man. I can see God is blessing you a lot. And that was, you are blessed by how big you were because you eat every day. I did not understand that until he told me that. And I'm like, well, let's eat more so I feel more blessed. Make that happen, right? But in this context, it's the same thing. The bigger you are, the blesser you were.
So that's why it's important to understand the context, because he's not trying to offend no one. Jesus is not condemning money or food or joy themselves. He's warning them that if you trust comfort, popularity, or success, we can be blinded to search for God. So we can say this. The kingdom of God turns our values upside down and invites us to trust God's eternal reward over temporary comfort. The kingdom of God turns our values upside down and invites us to trust God's eternal reward over temporary comfort. Now, as we are going deeper into this, let's see what blessed means. Luke defines blessed using this Greek word called makarios. Makarios describes someone who is deeply satisfied and secure because of God's favor. Other people can translate it as fortune, happy, enlarged, flourishing, but it's not about temporary feelings or good luck or being lucky. Being blessed is a settled joy and well-being that comes from God, even when the circumstances don't look or feel easy. The one who is blessed trusts in God's love no matter what. Now that we know what blessed means, I want us to think, what is Jesus saying here? So I want us to picture this scene. Jesus is standing in front of a crowd, and he's telling them, you are blessed. He's telling to the poor, to the sick, to the desperate, to the curious, and he looks at them directly and starts saying to them, you are blessed. Instead of congratulating the rich, the powerful, or the comfortable, he calls the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the rejected blessed. That's flipping that script. That's flipping everything here for us. So I want to put it in today's context so it can hit us better. If Jesus was here, he's probably talking to that parent who has two jobs and is wondering how to pay rent next week. And Jesus is telling to that parent, you are blessed, for the kingdom belongs to you. He's telling a family who just lost a loved one and is eating at that table with an empty chair. And Jesus is saying to that person, you are blessed because joy is coming. Maybe he's talking to someone that is overlooked at work because they refuse to compromise their integrity. And Jesus is telling them, you are blessed because God honors your faithfulness. Maybe there's a student here who loves God so much, and every time he publishes something on Facebook, they make fun of him. He gets bullied. And God tells that student, you are blessed because heaven sees your courage. And church, here's the big picture. As Jesus is looking at this crowd, as Jesus is talking to this group of people, he sees them. And let me tell you, friend, God sees you as well. God sees you just as Jesus sees this crowd. And if you are going through something right now, you are blessed. And I know it's hard to hear it this way. 2022, I was blessed when cancer came to me. I was blessed. I didn't feel blessed, but I was blessed. 2023, when cancer came back again, I was blessed. And it's not easy to say that out loud. It's not easy. But that's God talking to me. And if you are going through a struggle, if there's something going on with you, God is saying you are blessed because he loves you. Now, let me go back to the passage. I kind of went off the script here. I like to ask questions. Asking questions sometimes get me in trouble. But if I was with Jesus there, I would ask him, why are they blessed? Why is this group blessed? Why am I blessed when I had cancer? Why are they blessed? And the answer is easy. They are blessed not because of their situation, but because of their Savior. Their poverty, their hunger, their grief, and their rejection drives them to trust God's love. Their struggle drives them to trust his power. Jesus is teaching us that blessing is not measured by what we have in our bank accounts or how good we are, our social status. Blessing is found when your need pushes you closer to God. When the very things the world calls weakness become the doorway to his strength. Again, I was blessed with cancer. I was blessed when it came out 2 times. I was blessed when that they had to open me to do a surgery. I was blessed. And church, that's upside down kingdom. That's upside down. The crowd was looking for hope. Some of them traveled from far, from villages away. They traveled from far away. And they came from all over just to hear Jesus speak. And in the middle of their pain, Jesus looks at them and calls them blessed. Why? Because their struggles, their emptiness, their deep need have drawn them to him. When I had cancer, one of the first things I did was get on my knees and tell God, I need you. When I was dealing with financial stress, I got on my knees and tell God, what am I going to do? What am I going to eat tomorrow? The very hardships we wish would go away have become the doorway that brought us face to face with God. Our struggles brings us together to God. And that's true today still. People are still searching for hope. People are searching for something different. And he has a name. It's Jesus. And God calls them blessed. It's not your comfort that brings you closer to God. It's your need that brings you to him. Just like this crowd. When life drives you to Christ, you are already standing in the peace, in the place of blessing. When life drives you to Christ, you are already standing in the place of blessing. Paul says this better than me. So let's quote Paul. This is what Paul says. He's talking to Jesus. Each time he says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And this is Paul answering. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. Man, church, I don't know about you, but in my weakness, Jesus is stronger. When I'm about to give up, Jesus tells me, not on my watch. We are blessed even though you are going through something. Maybe tomorrow you may lose your job. And I know it sounds weird saying it. You are blessed because God will do something. God will show you something different. You are blessed. You are blessed. That means weakness isn't something to hide. It's where Christ's strength can be experienced most clearly. Church, I gave this example with my wife. I like to spend money. I love to spend money. And before I met Joanna, I would always have the new iPhones, the new updates, the new upgrades, the new everything. And I remember telling God, God, please, I need to get better with my finances. I'm not doing this good. And God said, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Then I met Joanna, and I was blessed because I haven't updated since 2014. I have someone that tells me, why? Long as it rings, you get text messages and your emails, you should be set. That's all. That new iPhone 2017 is going to be all in 2020, someday. Sorry. And that taught me something very important. That yes, my weakness is financials. I'm not very well with my money. And God provide me someone who is, which is my wife. So when life drives you to lean on Jesus, you are standing in a place of blessing because his power is released where your strength runs out. God will give you the strength you need. In fact, James echoes this here. Consider it an opportunity for great joy when trouble comes. He's not saying pain is fun. What he's saying that every hardship is like a spiritual training. It grows and endures and shapes us to mature and be complete in Christ. Let me go back to my cancer. When I was dealing with the cancer, it was rough. It was hard. I'm 31. I shouldn't be having cancer at 31. But that got me closer to God to depend on him. And I remember telling God at a certain point, God, if you take me to heaven, I'm blessed because I know where I'm going. But at the same time, please let me stay a little bit longer. I just got married. So I didn't say it this morning, but just to give you how my life is being changing. I got married in 2020. What happened in 2020? COVID. COVID happened. I was at COVID wedding. Broke every rule. Sorry. 2021, cancer came. 2021, my first children comes. 2022, cancer comes again. 2023, my other children comes. So many things are happening. A lot is happening. Trust me, these children are teenagers. Not an easy crowd to have. I prefer having the babies. But I was blessed. I was blessed with the cancer because my son got to see how you can move forward. I was blessed when God brought Joanna into my life at a moment where people were not coming together. Church, God blesses you. God loves you. And if you are going through something right now, you are blessed. Now let's change subjects here. We talk to the first crowd that don't have it together. Now let's talk to the crowd that think that have it together. Now, this crowd were wealthy people, respected leaders, and everyday people who felt secure in their success. And Jesus looks at them and talks to them and says this to them: what sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now? What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you? What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for laughing will turn mourning and sorrow? What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised false prophets? Jesus is giving them a wake-up call. And I want to say this to you. Don't mistake temporary happiness with true blessing. Don't mistake temporary happiness with true blessing. In other words, everything in this life is temporary. Your check goes as fast as it comes in. And we know that. We know that. Money can disappear. Plans can change. And when life hits you, when you less expect it, what do you do? Well, Jesus calls you blessed. But at the same time, Jesus offers something that is not fragile. Because when you trust Jesus and you walk with him, nothing will stop you. True blessing is the kind of peace and security that can be taken away because it's rooted in him, not in our circumstances. So for the crowd that has it all together, maybe you don't have issues right now. Maybe everything's great. Be careful. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't forget. Don't forget. And something amazing about this passage is that Jesus is talking to two crowds at the same time. He talks to the who has it together somehow, and for those who don't have it together. And he's telling them, you are blessed. He's warning them. Blessing isn't measured by what you have or don't have. It's about whether your heart is trusting in God or pulled away by the world. Blessing isn't measured by what you have or don't have. So today, some of us walk here this morning feeling empty and desperate. Maybe you're having health issues. Maybe you're having financial stress. Maybe you're just going through it. Life is hitting you. It's punching you right now. Let me tell you, you are blessed. You are blessed. And let me tell you why. Because you're here today. Because you're searching for God. Because you're not giving up. You are right here right now, and God is telling you, you are blessed. Your pain is bringing you closer to him. Your suffering is bringing you closer to him. And God tells you, you are blessed. I love you. You are in the perfect place for my blessing. That's what Jesus is saying to you. And today, if you haven't believed in Christ, today you can believe in him. And it's easy by just admitting you're a sinner, believing that he's your Lord and Savior, and choosing to follow him, even though you still have pain. And I'll be honest, the cancer, it affected me. It hurt me. Having chemo in my body is one of the worst feelings ever. But once I went through it, there were people who accepted Christ. God had me in that perfect place for a lady named Betty, for a guy named Juan, so I can share my faith to them. They didn't make it, but I know where they're at right now. They were there. They are with their creator. They're with God. And God allowed me to do that, to be part of that process. So maybe today you are dealing with something. Maybe it's not health. Maybe it's financial stress. Maybe you don't know if you have a job next week. Let me tell you this. You are blessed. And God still loves you, still cares for you. And he will provide the resources that you need. Trust me, I'm living that right now. He will provide. Because you are blessed. Jesus died at that cross to set you free from evil. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. You are blessed. You are blessed. And today, others are here having everything together. You're good. You're great. You feel, yeah, I'm set. Let me quote you, the Lion King. All right, let me quote you Mufasa here. Remember who you are and where your blessings come from. Just because you have it doesn't mean you were the one who did it. He did it for you. Remember where you come from and where God has rescued you from. And I know that's hard. Let me tell you, here's an example. I am Mexican. C-A-N. Mexican. I can do everything. I don't need help. I got this. I'm Mexican. And Jesus tells me, no, you're not. You are my son. And everything you have is not because you are Mexican. It's because you are my son. And I bless you. So don't forget, Yayo, where you come from. And sometimes that happens to us. We get so comfortable living where we at that we forget that we're here because of God's grace. So church, remember where you're coming from. Everything you have is from the Lord. The good and the bad. James 1:17 says here, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes and casts a shift shadowing. Everything we have is from God. So church, here's a challenge for all of us. Some of us walk here empty. Other ones walking are good. Let me tell you this. Let the power of perspective reshape what you call success. Don't mistake temporary comfort for true blessing. Let Christ's values, humility, dependence, and generosity shape your heart. Because the values that shape you will shape the world around you. And church, for those who feel they're going through it, man, you are blessed, brother and sister. You are. And I mean it by my heart. And for those who are set, for those who have it under control, man, give us the secret. But don't forget where it comes from. And we have a mission, all of us together, to go and make disciples and sharing the love of Jesus to everyone around us, our neighbors, our friends, everyone. If I wouldn't have cancer, Betty and Juan would have never believed in Jesus. And I had to go through that suffering. And I'm okay with it now. I know God used that to bless me. And I can give you different stories of my life and how God has blessed me in ways that people will be like, you call that a blessing, Yayo? And I'll be like, yes, I do call that a blessing. Do you want that? So church, God loves you. And for those who have it, remember that everything you have is from him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for blessing us. Even when it hurts, thank you for your blessing. Lord, today I pray for my brother and sister who is going through something right now, whether it's health, financial stress, relationship issues, or whatever they are going through, Lord, that they can see that they are blessed because they are searching you right now. Lord, I pray for those who have it under control, that they don't forget that they have it because of you. Lord, I just pray for everyone in the room that feels lost, that they know that if they come to you, they'll be found. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for your love. In your name we pray and say, amen. Thank you, church.